I was asked to do this session tonight because tomorrow we don't celebrate, but we memorize the bombing of Nagasaki in 45. My name is Peter Buchsein. This is a French name. I stem from a Huguenot tradition. And I'm 31 years old. I've been serving a church in West Germany for 3 years now as a pastor in Montabaur. This is near Koblenz. For those of you who have been in Germany, it's near the Rhine, where all these little nice castles are. My church belongs to the Synod of Hesse. And before this 3 years, I have been working or have been on staff of a Lutheran church here in the U.S. in Washington, D.C. The name of the church is Luther Place, and the senior pastor is John Steinbrook. I've been involved in the environmental movement in Germany in the early 80s and in the peace movement from then on. I'm a pastor. I'm not a political analyst or scientist. I read the newspapers just as you do, and I'm an eyewitness. I'm observing, and I want to share what I have observed or lived through. I'm going to talk about the peace movement, the Greens, and the Church. This is a very open title on purpose. So whatever you would like to ask a German pastor, you're welcome to do that on, let's say, the church life in Germany, or what is that church tax business you have there, or church and state relation or pastoral duties over there. Now first the question, who has heard of the Greens? Who knows who the Greens are? I guess this is more than half of you, so at least, I guess 50%. Let me start with a common German experience. As I told, I live between Cologne and Frankfurt, near the Rhine, in a small town. We have about 10,000 people. It's a county capital. And within my parish, I have a nuclear missile site. There are Lance missiles deployed. They are short range, so about 4 miles from my parsonage, there are nuclear missiles. This is common in Germany because about every 30 miles within Germany you will find a nuclear site, either a nuclear power plant or a military installation. Now just transfer that to the United States. Now Germany has about the size of Oregon, and Oregon has 2 million people living there. Germany has 60 million. Now just transfer that to your country, what that means if you have every 30 miles a nuclear site. So there are barracks in Montabaur where I live, and I try to communicate with the soldiers there. There are American soldiers too who have the keys for the nuclear missiles. And once I got to talk with a German officer who is a parishioner, and he was just back or coming back from a maneuver, and he told me about it because I asked him. And he said, well, the name of this maneuver, they always have names for it, was Action Frankfurt Cross or Frankfurter Kreuz. This is a big crossing of two interstates. This is near the Frankfurt airport. So I asked, what does that mean, Action Frankfurter Kreuz? Aktion Frankfurter Kreuz. Then he said, well, we made the game or the planning to shoot our nuclear missiles, our Lance missiles, to the Frankfurter Kreuz. And then I said, well, why are you doing that? Well, we assume that the Russians are there or will come there. And then I said, well, okay, but this is a highly populated area of Germany. There are about 3 or 4 million people living there, just within a radius of 20 miles of Frankfurt. How can you shoot a missile there, a nuclear missile? Then he said, well, actually, I don't want to think about it. And I pray that this will never happen. But they are doing it in the maneuver. And the plans are all made. So this is how that problem strikes home for me as a parish pastor in West Germany. Let's have a look at the recent history. In the 60s, most of you have experienced that. We had that students' movement or the counterculture movement in this country too. In Germany, it was heavily Marxist. Then in the 70s, we had an environmental movement because people became concerned about pollution of air, pollution of water, soil. You all know the stories about acid rains and the dying forests. Those of you who have been in the Black Forest, keep your pictures, because in maybe 20 years there is no Black Forest anymore. More than 50% of all the trees are already dead. So people were concerned about that, and they started citizens' movements. And then one branch of this movement was the anti-nuclear power movement. I guess you had it here too. And people fought a certain way of technology or technological developments. Then in 79, or in the 80s, the peace movement started. So I should add this here, peace movement. People were prepared for this issue because they had already thought about the anti-nuclear things or what nuclear energy does to our environment. So they had spent a lot of thought on it. Now in the 70s, the late 70s, you will know, we had another thing going on, the so-called third technological revolution, meaning that computers were developed that were much more sophisticated than all those before. And robots. And so this had an impact on weaponry too. So new weapons were constructed that were more destructive, more sophisticated, more accurate, using the new technology. And a new kind of missiles, the cruise missiles, came about, and the Pershing II. And in Germany, the government decided in 79 that they want to have these new missiles, but negotiate with the Russians at the same time. The deployment was scheduled for 1983. So that's the first. The second, there was a change in nuclear doctrine in these days. First, the new generation of missiles because of new technology. Now, the change of nuclear doctrine, people were talking about conventional nuclear options or flexible response or constrained nuclear use or limited nuclear war or technical employment options. Before, the doctrine was MAD, MAD, Mutual Assured Destruction, and that was given up. So the strategy has changed. We might use nuclear weapons on a smaller scale. For Germany, that means there were plans like the Operation Zebra, that the country, if the Russians will attack, we stripe the country like a zebra. When the Russians are there, we'll nuke that part of the country if they are there, and so that Germany might look like a zebra with nuclear weapons, using nuclear weapons. So that means the strategy is to defend Germany by committing suicide. And that is what brought the peace movement up. Then in 1981, on the 6th of August, you might recall that this is the Hiroshima Day. President Reagan told the American and the world public that the neutron bomb will be built. I think he picked a very special day for telling the public. And two, the Reagan administration sponsored the peace movement in Europe very much, saying we'll put the Soviet Union in the trash can of history, or the former Alexander Haig said, there are things more important than peace. Now, if you listen to that with European ears, you get scared to death. Just remember Operation Zebra and so on, and the new generation of missiles. Okay, so the response was in 1980, starting in the Netherlands, the Synod of the Reformed Church said no possession and no use of nuclear weapons. And this message spread all over Europe. It was called the Hollanditis, or the Holland disease, because, people liked it. In 1981, 80,000 Protestant people attended a mass rally on the Kirchentag. This is a large church assembly in Germany. In the same year, 300,000 showed up in Bonn, and in the following year, 400,000 when President Reagan visited West Germany for the economic summit, which takes place every year in another country. There were church papers issued and peace study weeks took place. In 1983, we had elections. And that was the year when the missiles, the new missiles, were scheduled for deployment. And the Green Party, succeeded. They made more than 5% of the votes, and they had 27 members in the parliament. Now, in October, November, when the deployment was scheduled, there was a very heated debate in the German Bundestag. It was on 21st and 22nd November, and with the majority of the Christian Democrats, the conservative party that took power in the elections in March, Schmidt was ousted. I think you remember that. So they voted for deployment of missiles, although there were these mass rallies with so many people, although polls showed that more than 75% of the German population opposed the deployment of cruise missiles and Pershing 2s. Now, these many people who were involved in the peace movement, who participated in rallies, who came to the peace study weeks in November, who tried to educate, they were very discouraged. It was a collapse of hope. And quite a few people felt, well, we are a colony. We can't influence anything. We are trapped between the superpowers. We lost control, or we never had it. So the first reaction was depression, a negative train of thought then, a lot of cynicism or skepticism. I don't care anymore, this kind of reaction first. But second, there were people who were so much committed to peace making that they continued their efforts. And some of them tried to block the roads to nuclear missile sites. So civil disobedience was introduced into the peace movement then. And they tried to disturb maneuvers within Germany. Or what the church did a lot were prayer meetings or silent vigils for peace, or still, and that continues today, peace study weeks. In East Germany they call it peace decades. People fasting. And the small groups continued, but so there is the peace movement, well, was transformed to smaller groups. There were no big rallies anymore, but small groups going on and working for peace of committed people. It's reflected too the impact of the peace movement in the liturgy of the church. We have a lot of new songs now and a lot of prayers for peace in our church. And that wasn't the case in the 70s. So this is one of the successes. Now, the Green Party had made it into parliament, and that was one continuation of the peace movement, and they still speak out for peace in the Deutsche Bundestag, the federal or the national assembly. The Social Democrats had become opponents or opposition party, and as they traditionally had a lot of ties to Eastern Europe, they tried to communicate on this level. They made proposals for nuclear-free zones in Europe, and even the thought of withdrawal from the NATO came up, kind of block-free thinking. And I think that's under the influence of the Green Party. Now, other people shifted their interests toward third world issues in 84, 85, or South Africa or Central America. So the topic of to prevent the deployment of the missiles wasn't there anymore, and people were looking for something to do. So these were the issues that came back to surface again. The world was looking towards Geneva for the Geneva talks, and you know what is going on there. I don't know, perhaps you know it better, but as far as I perceive it, there is still no success visible. Then in 85, the SDI program was discussed. The United States asked the German government whether they want to become involved, and so a debate started again, whether German business or the German army should become involved. And it was questioned because of trade restrictions that might happen if with the East, because there are a lot of ties between West Germany and East Germany, and some people were afraid that if Germans buy into the SDI program, then the Americans will tell them, because this is top secret, you cannot sell technology anymore to the Eastern Bloc. So, in 86, again, the peace movement was heavily involved discussing this, or trying to keep the German government from getting involved in the SDI program.
What's SDI?
Well, you will know better. Defense Initiative.
Star Wars,
yeah. Okay, so in 86, the Soviets did us a great favor. You all know about Chernobyl. I don't know how you pronounce it, and perhaps you can tell it. Chernobyl or
Chernobyl?
Okay. So I know that it cost a lot of Americans to cancel their flights to Europe because they were afraid of radiation. And again, nuclear energy or the whole thing strikes back home. There was a chaos of information. Nobody knew what to do. Can't children play outdoors? What about pregnant women? Can we eat vegetables grown in our own garden? Can we drink milk? The awareness for radiation just grew enormously, and it's now better than ever before, I guess. And I think the Chernobyl accident did more for education on nuclear stuff than the peace movement did. People feel, they sense and know what it means to become contaminated, because most parts of Western Europe were contaminated by radiation this spring. Now, the discussion started again. What about the safety of our power plants? What about if we had a nuclear exchange? Will the radiation come back to those who fired the missile? What about the safety of nuclear power plants in war times? You don't have to use nuclear weapons, just hit the enemy's power plants. And again, the problem of nuclear waste, of dump sites for it. And there is another plant being built in Bavaria, kind of reprocessing of nuclear waste, and tens of thousands of Germans are rallying against that power plant or that plant for reprocession. So this is what has happened. This was a historical overview. You see, big movement with hundreds of thousands of people and depression after the deployment took place in late 83. And now things are just going on, and we actually wait in Germany for the next accident to happen. Okay, I'll let you ask questions now if you want to, and otherwise I go ahead with the Green Party. What does that tell you, or my words? Is your American experience the same, or how did you perceive Chernobyl? Or what about the MX in your country? Yes.
It seems to me that unfortunately the reaction to the contamination that we might have expected got quite washed with a lot of anger expressed to the Russians for being secretive. I really believe that was intentional. If not intentional, certainly almost diabolical in its effect, because one of the greatest sources of impetus for anti-nuclear action and feeling was thus severely diverted.
Mm.
I don't know how others feel about that.
All right, any more comments?
Is it true that home in Germany received little bulletins about what to do?
Yes.
I had a student bring me a little pamphlet that he said that he was told every household received this little pamphlet.
Yes, that's right.
And some doctors gave the pregnant women the advice to have
Abort
the babies, yeah.
If I may ask you again, what successes could you tally as a result of these various movements that you've traced? You have noted the growth of the movement, but have there been specific accomplishments that you have noted?
I think the awareness or consciousness rose enormously. I think that's a success in on the educational level, but not on the real level of power policy or power politics. The missiles are there. and they are on have trigger alarm. So it's a dangerous situation.
One of the things that has impressed me is the apathy. We live in Spokane, and we had one of the four hearings on the choosing of the waste disposal site here in Washington, in Hanford. And this was just a month after Chernobyl, and we only had 100 people show up in Spokane representing a large portion of eastern Washington, even expressing an interest. And it affects us very directly.
Like it wouldn't happen in the United States. This was a Soviet mistake. They built their power plants, you know, wrong, and it wouldn't happen to any of our plants. I think the media really covered it that way. It was real. I felt a real apathetic feeling afterwards. Like, you know, if you want to get as far away from the United States as you can, it's the Soviet Union. And I think people felt like it happened there.
Yeah, we were told the same. The German, West German power plants are the best and safest all over the world.
Right.
It's German technology and that never fails.
Yeah. Peter, have there been any near misses in German nuclear power plants similar to our Three Mile Island, the problem we had there?
Not yet. The question is where to put the nuclear waste. Because Germany is so small.
Don't ship it in here.
No, we won't. Maybe the Russians get it. If we give them money, they take it. Yeah, I'm not kidding. Are you there? Yeah. Tom is there. I think a lot of uranium or plutonium, whatever, for Western nuclear weapons is produced in the Soviet Union. Is that right, Tom? So I was not kidding with you know, selling our waste to them. This is just crazy. If you imagine that you know, they give us the raw materials. Yes, please.
Well, the media played that up and about the construction of the plant, and I'm in the construction industry. We're for reinforcing steel supplier, and I know that when we build them here, they use a lot more concrete, and this is what's really played up. But it still goes back to the fact that it's still man-made, it's still man-operated, and man makes mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you know, and the thing is, what do you do with the radioactive, the waste again?
Yeah.
Nobody's come up with a solution for that problem.
Yeah.
Peter,
yeah.
What's your opinion on why in 1983, if 75% of the people were opposed to deployment, why did Kohl get elected? Why did the Social Democrats lose? And why did the Bundestag vote to accept the prisoner?
Well, I think the German government, the Schmidt government, was, I hope it's the right expression, was worn out. They had governed for 13 years, and there was some corruption going on, and just a lack of good people. And it was an economic crisis in the early 80s, and so people hope that a conservative government would get the economy going again.
High unemployment.
So and they promised we'll make everything better. You know, you'll get your bucks again or your money, and that draw votes. Okay, then let me
just get one question. I wonder if you could describe the relationship between the United States military in Germany and the German military. Is there some tension there? But I thought I heard you say that the U.S. military that would keep the nuclear missiles, like me, that Germans don't operate them, but the United States military. Is there some resentment generally about U.S. military in Germany?
Well, the Federal Army, that's the West German Army, and the U.S. Army or the Air Force, they work closely together. So, at Montabaur, the city where I live, the Americans live within a German barrack. Or do you always say barracks?
Barracks,
okay. They have two or three houses there, and they maintain the missiles. They care for it. They do nothing else. That's how the cooperation is. So I don't think that there is tension between the armies or so.
Or between the people in the U.S. military. Isn't there that much contact between the U.S. military and the German people?
Not really. I think a lot of American soldiers are living in a kind of ghetto. And they, you know, they have their own shops. They still pay with dollars, and so on. And so they communicate and socialize with each other. And there is not much communication going on between the German population and Americans that are there for military reasons.
I would disagree with that.
Yeah.
All the people I have known in the service have certainly been part of the German community, live in the German community. They don't live on bases and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of a general statement that you make. I'm sure there are some that are, but
I think one of the, it might, when did that happen?
It's from the last 15 years.
Yeah. It might be that, you know, the within the last years, I think you know that the level of education within the army has dropped a bit, I think, and that as soon as Americans don't try to get acquainted with the culture, that means the language of the country where they live, there are some problems in communication.
People that go over there and their children attend the schools.
But American schools usually?
No, not always. Some of them do, yeah. But people I have known, they attend the German schools and they're taught in German. No, it's not. They have to communicate in German. And so they are definitely
associated
with German people.
Okay. I do services for American people in my church in English, so you know I have some contact too, but even doing that, I think it's very limited what is happening, but we don't have to argue. Depends on your personal character. Yeah.
How pervasive is that view that you shared, that they're waiting for the other shoe to drop, or the only thing that gets people's attention is another accident, and that it's more effective to have an accident than to have a peace movement in getting people's attention or getting change? Is that a pretty pervasive idea or thought in the peace movement in Germany?
Well, I don't think that anybody hopes that there will be an accident pretty soon, but this is what has happened. And you know, if you just have a little garden somewhere and you can't eat your salad anymore because the leaves are contaminated and all people tell you not to do,
then you waste time.
Then, yeah. Okay.
I share the concern that you have about the nuclear weapons, but how do you handle, you know, the forces that outnumber you so 20-1 in tanks and, you know, likewise in numbers of troops across the border? How do you protect yourself?
a good question. Tom, help me.
I was out there. Did you talk about Operation Zebra? And
yeah.
Okay. It just seems like the way of protection right now is not protection. Nuclear weapons don't protect Germany.
Well, nothing has happened, though. There's been no movement across the border.
I guess that's one perspective. I think in another way, the kinds of weapons that are being built now, that the danger is steadily increasing. I mean, I think it's a little bit like someone jumping out of a 10-floor building and at the fifth floor saying, well, it's okay so far, and five more floors and it's going to happen. I think that's what's going to happen if we continue raising the stakes. I guess maybe Peter can answer this, that there's much more paranoia here about the Russians invading than there is there. Would that be true?
I think so.
That West Germany and East Germany do cooperate some and are neighbors, and there's much more fear here of the Eastern Bloc invasion.
Okay.
Would that be true of all generations in Germany?
Well, I guess
Germany has a generation, the post-war, right? And would those folks who were, remember that conflict feel the same as?
I think the post-war generation is likely not to be so fearful as the pre-war generation. Yeah. But still, Germany has attacked Russia, not Russia, Germany. We have to keep that in mind.
I just have to get over there. There was much more fear of both sides than there was of one side. And that Germany felt trapped by the superpowers and not just one superpower. And it seems to be that is the reality there for most people.
What you had said before, that if in fact there's been a change in strategy, that mutually assured destruction.
Yeah.
And that was the theory behind what you were saying, that you set up a defense that's so terrible that the other side wouldn't dare to attack. But if in fact that's been changed to much more include the notion of a limited nuclear war, where you're presupposing there is going to be a war, the other side isn't going to be afraid to attack, and then what you do, you try to cut your losses and increase theirs. And the reality is that you're not cutting losses. That breaks down the notion of, well, it's working, they have an attack, you're actually preparing for an attack or to attack at that point.
Okay, let me talk about the Greens a little bit, so I don't want to miss the theme of the evening totally.
I haven't talked about insurance at all.
Yeah. Okay, I just read from a book I found interesting here. This is describing an ad of the Green Party in the television of Germany. This is government run or owned, but political parties have the chance to get some minutes in a campaign. Another ad began with a camper in a forest taking photographs of the trees, which are nearly bare with only a few brown leaves remaining, as in autumn, fall. He unloads his film and dips it into the nearby river to develop the pictures, which he then admires. Then Professor Heumer von Ditfurth, a widely respected ecologist and Green supporter, who hosts a national broadcast television program about issues in science, enters the scene. Von Ditfurth explains to the audience that the forest is not really in its autumnal phase, at which news the photographer looks disappointed and says merely, oh. It is an ordinary forest, continues van Dietvoort, that has been affected by acid rain, and the river is just one of the ordinary German rivers, some of which contain so much chemical waste that they are almost like processing fluid. Instead of saying vote green, this ad and all the others end with an animated version of the poster showing green tendrils growing from the tree stumps, and then the party's logo, the plum rounded letters spelling their name, Die Grünen. So, I thought that's nice. So what is, the Greens consider themselves an anti-party party. They were constituted in January 1980, and they are now in most of the city councils, of the county assemblies, of the state legislatures, and in the National Assembly, the Bundestag, and in the European Parliament too. So this party was founded in 80, and within 5 years they made it into nearly all parliaments within Germany and on the European level too, up to 12% of the votes. So critics, or some people say the Green Party were these people were messianic or outlandish or romantic or simplistic or anti-American or just dangerous or communist. But I think the Greens propose an integrated approach to the current ecological, economic and political crises. They introduced a new style into politics or policy making. They clothe very casual, whereas the Christian Democrats and Social Democrats, they wear ties and flex suits, and they come just with jeans and long hair or whatever. Knitting, right, in the parliament. When they had their first show up in the Bundestag, they brought a huge tree from the Black Forest, which was totally dead, and that was covered by the media, so they have a sense for publicity, that's what I'm saying. They have a new rhetoric, their language is quite straight, it's not so much when and but and if. They say what they think. They think what they say. They have a striking proportion of women. 50% of the members of parliament have to be women. This is their constitution. They want it to be so. Their spokespeople are women too. Leadership, 50%. And they are not professional politicians, or as in the United States, lawyers. That's what I learned this year, that most people in the parliaments here are lawyers. They are grassroots oriented, and that means they have all kinds of people, teachers and doctors and workers and whoever is interested in making politics. So it's a very representative group of the population. They are composed of, I would say clusters. So, as I pointed out here, people from the 60s make up one cluster, converted Marxists, I would like to call them, people who left the Marxist stance or position and think differently, I'll tell you how. Then people from the environmentalist movement, from the peace movement or movement of holistic health care, and so on. And you can imagine that people with that different backgrounds have a lot of tensions with each other. So the starting point of green thought is the recognition that we find ourselves in a multifaceted global crisis. And the issue is survival. Issues like, or problems like nuclear weapons, we have more than 50,000 now in the world, the arms race, hunger, starvation, poverty, water, pollution of air, question of the growth of economy, of dwindling resources, of toxic wastes, or the modern medicine as a health hazard. Well, they say these are systemic problems. These are interconnected problems. They all have to do with each other. And they say no to the traditional approach. Which fragmentates these problems. The first step in overcoming the crisis is to recognize a new vision of reality or a new model of reality. And so they are fighting the train of thought, the Cartesian train of thought, I think, and its set of values, that the world is considered a mechanical system, or the world is things. For example, in traditional medical care, if you have a stomach ulcer, either you go to surgery or you receive some pills, but to ask what is the social environment of this person, or what about her or his nutrition? What side effects had other treatments before, and so on. You just focus on the stomach and you cut the ulcer or treat the ulcer, but you don't ask for the whole body. So what they say is that it's necessary to have a revision of thought, and that transcends right and left positions. It's neither capitalist nor communist. So they say we are neither right nor left, we are in front with that new model of thought. So they stress the interconnectedness and interdependence of all phenomena. So we have, as Christians, we have the body model too. Humans are part of nature. We are a part of it and not outside, treating nature. And we have to understand that we are embedded as individuals and as societies in the processes of nature. So the Greens call for social responsibility within a healthy economic system. And that means one that is ecological, that emphasizes the quality of life. It's a thinking in quality, not in quantity. And a life or an economy in which people have significant control over their lives. Now they know that there is a comprehensive approach necessary to transcend the present day economics. And they have to do a lot of homework on that. And as I told you, the Greens started in 1980, so they are still infants. So proposals are what they tell people to do, ecological investments. For example, in the areas of energy production, to further solar energy, for example, or recycling technologies, or better water management, or agriculture, or housing, or traffic. So they suggest to utilize local resources of energy, or to recycle and use in a proper way raw materials. They discuss what is produced, how and where it is produced. So, well, I'll just stop here because we get run short of time, and I want to say that Holden is a green place. Now think about that. Holden is a green place. This was very brief what I did on the green, but I think you got the message. What they propose, to leave the old model of thought of repairing the system and thinking ahead a new system, an ecological system where all people have a place, where nature is love. The home is a green place. What do you think about that? Or can you give me examples? Why is Holden a green place?
Because we're thinking.
Yeah.
But we're trying ardently to protect and perpetuate this place for all the generations to come, to avoid any exploitation of the environment.
Think of the food you eat here. I think that's the best example. Some people don't like it, but I do. Well, okay, the last word, the Greens and the peace movement, well, they voiced the interests of the peace movement in the parliaments. And their plan is, first, to ban nuclear weapons from German soil, east and west, first. Then they are asking for a reduction of the troop level, so lesser people serving in the army. The third step would be to withdraw from the NATO and begin a bloc-free Europe. And the fourth is, what would happen if the Russians really came? They're suggesting social defense and education on social. Okay, so you see that the Green Party picked up all these movements. And so they are within the political system now. And they try to transform that and to, well, get people.
Can I ask you a question? You gave a session in 83.
And I think I remember you talking a little bit more negatively about the Marines at that time. I think I remember you using the word clowns, or that people did not take them seriously. And has there been that big a change in 3 years that they're more respectful? I mean, are you agreeing, or could you be agreeing in your congregation, be respected, or are you pretty much marginalized if you are never agreeing with them?
I said before that the Greens are still in an infant state. And when I referred 3 years ago to the Greens as clowns, then, you know, maybe that's what I picked up, that they were clowning sometimes.
Uh-huh.
But they mature too. And now, this year, we got the first Green, we say minister, or what do you say in America for? You know, the official
Army secretary.
Secretary, right. So in the state of Hesse, a Green man is now a secretary.
Joshua Fisher.
The name is Fisher.
Yeah.
A secretary for environmental issues. So they are settling now in the political hierarchy too. They're maturing. And within the Greens, there are tensions because some of them say, as soon as we get involved in the system, if we become secretaries or members of parliament, if we support the Social Democrats, then we will be spoiled by the system. We have to compromise. So there is a wing, it's called the fundamentalist. They say, no, we don't make coalitions.